Is your family a success?
Is there even a measure for family success?
We think there is. And with a 20-year track record of success, we're going to show you how to bless your family with success in your health, relationships, and finances. I'm Steve Keen.
And I'm Katie Keen. And along with some awesome guests, we are going to give you our secrets to family success. Welcome to Family Success Secrets.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Family Success Secrets podcast. We're joined once again today by Mr. Tony Caggiano. He is with us this time for a greater look into his entrepreneurial journey and learning some secrets of success that he has for his own family. If you have not gone and listened to the first podcast that we did with him, it would be good to jump back in time a little bit, pick up that shorter one, and it'll catch you up on all the stuff that he's done, all the places you can find him and that type of stuff. And then when you land back in here with us for the full-length podcast, then you'll be up to speed. As a quick reminder, Tony has 30-plus years as an entrepreneur under his belt. He's also a family man with two boys, and his wife is an author of a book, Putting the Pieces Together. It's a story about their experience with autism. Tony is also a podcaster, and he has the Entrepreneurial Journey podcast and a Facebook page by the same name. So quick hint there on where you can find him. But that's our quick catch up. What we'd like to do now is ask Tony if he would give us a little bit more detail on his backstory and how he went from being a DJ in college to a software guy and whatever else in between that you feel is pertinent, relevant, humorous.
It's an awesome journey.
Yeah, whichever way you want to go, man.
I got a lot of stories.
Yeah, the microphone's yours, buddy.
Once again, for having me back.
Yeah, thank you.
On the podcast the first time. And awesome to be back, talk some more. So yeah, where do I start? So a quick background of me. Once again, I started years ago in college. I became a DJ out of, you know, learning or wanting to do something that I really loved, and I always loved music. So I had a friend whose dad owned a roller skating rink and hung out with him one night in the DJ booth, and he just, you know, sparked my curiosity. And so I've always been somebody who liked working for myself and trying new things. So that's why I think I've been a serial entrepreneur, because I just love trying new things. You know, there have been so many things that we don't even have time to get into that I've done, so many different things. So, but being a DJ was a lot of fun because it allowed me to do something I loved, but also have more freedom to do the things that I wanted to do. You know, I had to go to college during the day, but also, you know, I got to get paid to have fun. I used to do college parties, and, you know, so it gave me a little bit more freedom to do the things that I wanted to do and a little bit more income to take that and reinvest into real estate. And I bought my first two family when I was in college and some things like that. So it really set me on the right path to learning how to, you know, get ahead rather than just go out and get a job and be there. Because quite frankly, I went to college and I graduated and I tried that. You know, I went out and I got a job as a financial advisor for, you know, a big insurance company. And I just felt trapped, you know, sitting at my desk every day. And, you know, I couldn't wait until, you know, the weekend when I had a DJ gig. I was just like, I can't wait to do that. So started something else. You know, I like to do a lot of different things that I liked. And I started building computers for people back in the, you know, it was the mid 90s, you know, right when the internet got started. And so by doing that, I went and taught myself all the networking and computers and things that I needed to learn, and left that job as a financial advisor after getting all my licensing and passing all the exams. I just left that. I just was not happy whatsoever. So
now, that was a tremendous amount of work that you put into that, because I've heard from guys or friends of mine about everything, Series 6 or whatever it is.
663. I almost passed the 7 to sell stocks and bonds and had the insurance licensing. And then after, I think it was a year and a half, I was doing that. I couldn't do it anymore. And I wanted to do something that I was happy with. And I was kind of pushed in that direction because I have a lot of family members that were in insurance. And my dad was like, you have to do something. You're going to make a lot of money. And to me, at the time, money wasn't my driving factor. It was more, you know, am I enjoying what I'm doing every day when I got up? And that's something that's really, I think, profound these days for somebody in their early 20s, right out of college, to realize that, you know, money isn't the end goal, you know, to have lots and lots of money. And while it's great to have that, especially when you have a family and you want to give them everything that you, you know, want to give them and let them have the experiences, you know, for me, I wanted to be able to have those experiences and try new things in my life. And so I went out and started my own IT company as well. So I was DJing on the weekends, started small, a part-time IT company. And by chance, it just kind of happened in that, you know, I wound up having to take another job. I went back to work for ADT, actually. They owned a regional telemanagement company. I took a job as an IT person because I learned a lot about IT and got my certifications and went and did that job. But after doing that for a couple of years, ADT got bought out by a larger company and I got laid off. But my boss locally hired me back as a consultant, and that just helped me grow my own business. And so there are a lot of opportunities that come along. You just have to look for them and take advantage of them. And that helped me start my own IT company. And so for many years, I did IT as well as DJing. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, in my early 30s, I wound up getting married and having a young family. And, you know, I had to go back to corporate America a little bit more. So I grew the IT company, sold it off, and retired from DJing after 22 years and made the move down to North Carolina from Western Massachusetts, just because there was more opportunity for the kids. And so that was one of our main reasons why we kind of made a big change. You know, we left everything, you know, up north, came down, started fresh, and just a new environment for the kids to have a lot of opportunity. So there's a lot of sacrifices that go along with, you know, building something up and learning from that. And it wasn't a loss per se. You know, there's a time when you do something for so long that you just have to say, okay, I'm done with it. But you take those experiences and you learn from those, and you see how that you can, you know, utilize those experiences for your next opportunity that comes along. So it was mostly for, you know, taking somewhat of a sacrifice to start our family and make sure that, you know, we had the right environment for raising them in the right place. So
wow.
And it's an amazing journey.
That is.
It has been. And there's a lot of things that, you know, happened in between, but we were very fortunate in a lot of ways that every time we ran into a roadblock or a stumbling block that we had to get over, or a very stressful time in life, you know, one of them being, you know, our oldest son when he was diagnosed with autism. You know, we were lucky enough at the time to be in a state that had a lot of services. And at that time, and I'm not sure that Massachusetts has the same availability, but, you know, we had to drive from Western Mass 2 hours, you know, every couple of weeks to the Boston area to, you know, do testing and things for him. But, you know, it was available to us. And I attribute a lot of the people, you know, that my wife writes about in her book, you know, that have helped him in his earlier years to where he is today. They were really great people, and we were very fortunate enough to have those kind of services. But giving him a new environment down here really opened up opportunities for him to really thrive, you know, and he found what his first love was, which is basketball, when he was in fourth grade, just by chance. And so from there, that's been his goal. And now he's, you know, in a freshman in high school with ambition to go on to play college ball and things like that. So my wife and I know it was the right choice when we see, you know, how far both boys have come and, you know, what their ambitions are, and just trying to open up opportunities. And one of the things that I've learned as a parent, you know, is to let your kids experience as much as they can so they can find out what they really like, you know, and then encourage it. Even if it sounds crazy, you know, encourage it for a while. My youngest son, he wants to be a YouTuber. And you know what? That's like growing up and saying, I want to be a rock star these days, you know, and, right. But it could happen. You know, it depends on, you know, how long is he going to be really interested in this, or if he doesn't wind up being a YouTuber when he gets older or a professional gamer. You know, I wanted to be a race car driver when I was a kid. You know, it was just right. One of those things. But it helped me project goals and try to reach them by doing certain things. And it just teaches a lot of lessons. So we really encourage our kids to do whatever they really want, you know, within mm-hmm. reason, obviously. But so that's where I am, you know, today. And it brought me into, you know, back to the corporate world a few years ago when we moved to North Carolina. And then I got the bug again a couple of years ago to do something else on my own. Because I, again, corporate America, it was something I had to do for a while, but I love doing other things, working for myself, as well as giving back and helping others. So I started creating a fundraising app for our local schools here, which needed some help. But when COVID, I had to shelf that for obvious reasons. But again, opportunities present themselves. I ran into a developer while looking at developing that app who was creating another software, which is what I'm doing today with the ADA compliance with websites. So it's always about, even if you make mistakes or, you know, have huge failures, you always have to look at what opportunities or what did I learn from this mistake or this failure that's going to help me in my next opportunity that shows itself. So
there you go. Lots of experience with that. That gives you a good depth of understanding and just simply experience in life, right? So yes, that you can continue to do hard things, right? Because honestly, I was thinking as you were saying, you know, everybody in 2020 kept throwing out the word pivot, but it sounded like, you know, that was a one-time thing for them. Whereas I think I heard several course changes for you in the course of your brief history here. So, you know, in doing that, and it seemed like for the most part, it was mostly on your terms where you would say, yeah, I want to go, and had, I guess, the courage to go and try something that was wildly different and get all the certifications for it, find out it wasn't quite what you wanted, and I'll switch again. I mean, that's exactly. Really cool. Yeah.
One of the things that I've found for myself is not to be afraid of change. And I think that's what holds a lot of people back, you know, and if you can embrace change, because the only thing I learned this really as a young person, I remember I was a teenager and somebody told me this and it just stuck with me that it was very profound, I guess, at the time when I heard it, that the only constant in life is change.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you can embrace change, you know, a lot of people, it's very hard for a lot of people because they get comfortable in this one area. But if you can push yourself a little bit into that uncomfort zone, then the only thing that could happen is something's going to change and you're going to grow, you know, and then that becomes your comfort zone. And then you can push yourself a little bit more outside that comfort zone. And then that's how you can, if you're hesitant to change, you can do it in little steps. Or if you're like me, sometimes you just take that, you just jump off a cliff and go, hey, let's try this.
and just die.
Yeah.
It's scary as heck sometimes, but you know, I've done it and landed on 2 feet sometimes and on my head a couple others.
Yeah, but I bet in both cases you feel really alive in doing it, right?
Like no regrets, that's for sure.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right. So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk to our families out there about success systems. That's what we do here. So let's start, if you will, with family success system, maybe that you or have used in your home or you used growing up or, you know, whatever the case is, something that will help that you would offer as advice maybe to another family.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I've learned over the years, you know, self-improvement, not only in business, but really in life and marriage and being married and working together as parents and making sure that we could have a family unit that works together. Mm-hmm. So in the last podcast, I mentioned, you know, really listening to one another is key, but there are so many others that I've learned over the years, you know, and my wife has even taught me a lot, you know, from her perspective, and just seeing myself through her eyes helps me become better. And I grew up in a family where I had a father that yelled a lot. And so that's where, and I hated it. And I always said to myself, you know, when I become a dad, I'm never going to yell and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes things become so stressful, you know, sometimes I would lose it, you know, and I would become that person. And then afterwards, I was just like, oh my God, I'm doing the one thing that I told myself I didn't want to do because I don't want my kids to feel the way that I did. And so, you know, I would always try to go back, and actually, I can't say always. In the beginning, it was hard for me. It was hard to say I was wrong. But one thing I've learned is to go back and circle back with them and talk about, okay, yes, I was upset about something and I lost my cool. You know, let them know that, you know, I'm not perfect either. And to say I'm sorry for what I did to your kids so that way they can see you, you know, in not being hard-nosed, or maybe that's not the right word, but showing that you can apologize when you need to, you know, take responsibility for, you know, being wrong. And I think that's one of a big lesson that I want to teach my boys is that when you're wrong, take the responsibility and say you're sorry. So that way, if it's within a relationship when they get older, or if it's a relationship with their kids or anybody, really, they can really be that type of person who can say, hey, I was wrong. I'm really sorry. Instead of, you know, holding a grudge or, you know, going down that path of, you know, I wasn't wrong. So I think that's one of the lessons that I've learned about being a dad and being married. You know, even when my wife and I have a disagreement, I have learned to step back and say, okay, you're right. You know, I was wrong. In the beginning, I don't think I was like that as much as I am today. And it's really over time, I've learned to do that, to become a stronger parent, a stronger father, a stronger husband, to have a family unit that really can grow together. And my main goal, and I think my wife and I are very much on the same page in a lot of things, but our main thing is to make sure that we have a great relationship, not only with our kids when they're younger, but they want to have a great relationship with us when we're older as well, because I've seen both sides. I've seen families that they think they have everything great and, you know, they don't, and they really don't when the kids are younger. And then when they get older, the kids want nothing to do with their parents. They're just like, yeah, whatever, mom and dad. But, you know, our main goal is to have a relationship with our kids for a lifetime. And we want to be able to be a part of their lives as they get older and whatnot. So that's really what our family goals are.
Nice. Nice. Well said.
That's absolutely beautiful and really resonates with our hearts as well, and a lot of what we aim for. And I just love how you said that you guys work to apologize, because I know when I was a kid, when my parents would apologize, it raised my respect level for them. And it made me feel closer to them because I felt I could trust them. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, that just brings in so much of a strengthening to your family bond that I really respect that you guys do that in your family.
Thank you. It's funny. I have to give credit to both my parents because my parents were so different from each other. My dad was very stubborn and would never apologize for everything. He was never wrong. And he would fight you to the end, you know, even if he said the sky was purple and pink and, you know, we all know it's blue. He could never be wrong. But my mom really taught me a lot about the other side of being, you know, humble and apologizing and things like that. So a lot of times, you know, I'll remember how I felt when my father was like that. And so he taught me how not to be a lot of ways. Yeah. And my mom taught me how to be. So it was really, and then, you know, being a father and a husband, it's really being able to put those into action.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I like it. I like that. What if we sort of went at the same question, you know, what you would offer to families, but from your professional life, from a DJ, a computer builder, a insurance, and almost said broker. I'm not sure exactly where you fell in there, but all of those different things, now software and all that, the entrepreneurial journey, what system of or advice would you offer to families, really just any family, about that and maybe how they got, how to get their start, or, you know, something that you learned that would be a real golden piece of advice for them?
Yeah. Being an entrepreneur, you know, and having a family sometimes is a difficult thing to juggle. But
yeah,
one of the things early on, you know, when I had my IT business, and there was a lot of different things we did, they call it managed services. Like, we would go to companies and fix their computers pretty much. And so, you know, Dylan was very young and Aiden was just born when I was doing that, just finishing up that before we moved. But so, you know, we tried to get them involved and let them understand what I was doing on the level that they're at. So I was the computer guy, you know, daddy's a computer guy, and that's really what they knew. But as they've gotten older and they've seen the different things I've done, like my wife, you know, she started pretty much a nonprofit, you know, it was a quick startup to fill a need in our community, where when our kids, we took them out of charter school and put them into public school, and we found there were a lot of kids that were in need of clothes. My wife just took it upon herself to open up our garage and take donations. And within 2 weeks, we had, you know, clothes for thousands of kids, and she would sort them all with some volunteers and then give them out. So, you know, we got our kids involved in that to show them, you know, this is what mom wants to do with her time and to help others. And so by getting them involved, it helps them understand what we're doing. And, you know, now being the ADA comply guy, you know, they're a little bit older now, and I try to get them involved in what I'm doing online and doing videos. And a couple of videos we did we bought a used boat this summer because the kids were dying to get out on the lake. They were stuck in the house. And so I bought a boat, and the three of us used to go out on the boat. And so I used to do some videos from the boat for the ADA comply guy and stuff. So, you know, I kind of got them more involved in the videos and called Dylan ADA comply guy 2.0, and Aiden was ADA comply kid. And so, you know, just getting them involved and letting them understand what you're doing helps them feel included and feel involved. So I think that's one of the things, if I had to pick one bit of advice, how to, you know, try to keep business and family running smoothly together. Mm-hmm. You know, if your kids understand and feel involved in what you're doing, then it's not just like, daddy has to go to work, he's not here anymore. Like right now, they're like, oh, dad's on an interview. He knows, you know, that's what he's doing. So, you know, we have to know to be quiet, you know, because he's doing what he needs to do. It's not just, oh, he's going in his office and we don't see him for a couple hours. They know what I'm doing. They understand, you know, that's important. So keeping them involved as they get older. And now, you know, the boys, Dylan wants to learn how to do videos because he wants to do modeling, you know, and Aiden wants to learn how to do video editing. So some of the things that I'm doing, I'm introducing them little by little to figure out, you know, what they like to do. You know, maybe it's something they want to do too. Maybe it's not, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So two of the things that you said sort of jogged my thoughts, I think, you know, because they're learning two things here. On the one hand, they're learning about service to others in the instance of the clothing drive that you were doing out of your garage. But then you're also bringing them in on what I'll just call the family business, right? And so they're learning that there can be a model for a family business where, you know, the parents are getting it started and bringing them up to learn how to do it, you know, which is how things were generations ago, right? And that's largely been lost because people would go off to college, they learn something completely different than the family business, and then they live in a different town, and you know, that was the end of the family business. But this is cool because now they can come up seeing it and learning it and take it over, or they can grow up bigger, they can have an offshoot from it, they can you know, take it in any number of ways. So you know, that's really cool how you got two different branches there.
Yes, and it's all about instilling, you know, or in exposing them to the entrepreneurial spirit, and whether they want to take it and run with it, or they want to get a job, or they want to go do something like play basketball, or even get a trade. You know, my son's learning carpentry and he's really, you know, looking forward to learning about it in school. And we have a family friend who, you know, does it, and he might be working for him part-time just to get exposure to some trades. Whatever he chooses to do in the future, he will have been exposed to a lot of different options so he can find what he really enjoys and he can pursue.
Well, that's good because on the one hand, you know, they'll learn things that are good for their family. They're at their home, right? Or it could be a trade that they go into. Or, you know, if they go and they're doing something like that and they're saying, well, this is my day job, right? You have instilled inside of them that entrepreneurial spirit that you just described, right? So that they know, well, probably layer this on top of what I'm doing, right? So I can have the 9 to 5 and then I can have that thing that I do for a couple hours in the evening for some additional income, and you can grow that however you like. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty awesome. So how would you describe entrepreneurial spirit real quick?
Just, you know, for me, it was always there. You know, I just felt like I had a higher purpose to do something not only that I enjoyed and pursued, but something that is going to help somebody else in some other way. So, you know, my entrepreneurial spirit has always been philanthropic in nature, whether the business is geared towards helping others or whether, you know, others are going to be helped because of the business. You know, to me, that spirit is just instilled in me, but I don't know where it was. I was exposed to it somehow because I didn't always know that I can go and work for myself. You know, somehow I ran across something or somebody that, you know, showed me that option. And that's what I want to make sure that I can make sure my kids are exposed to too, that the option is there and they can take advantage of it if they want.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. So I like that. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, for your kids, as they're coming up, right, you're teaching them some of this stuff as well. Your wife is teaching them some of this stuff as well. I wonder if the other kids, like, in the neighborhood see this and think, well, there's a family model that I'm not used to seeing. And maybe it rubs off on the neighborhood kids as well.
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, our house is the house that all the kids come to, you know, whether you know, it's to play football in the yard or, you know, after school. Well, it used to be, you know, when school was, you know, last year when school was in session, after school, every day the kids would be over our house playing football or whatever. And they've all grown up together. So we've always been a family that everyone has been drawn to. And we're good friends with, you know, all the other families as well. So, you know, we know the kids really well and they know who we are. You know, they know what we do. When we had the clothing drive, I think there was one day where we needed some extra help and the kids, they just jumped in and said, hey, can we help? So yeah. It's really awesome that, you know, we live in a great neighborhood with a good bunch of kids that are similar to our boys where they want to help others. So
yeah, that's great. It seems they'll catch that spirit too.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. I know in our original interview, you mentioned that the boys had also helped out at a local, I think you said local in North Carolina, or was it in Massachusetts, but a business that was a daycare. That was so inspiring.
Yeah, it was actually down here in North Carolina. It's funny. When we moved, we came down to visit North Carolina one summer when we lived in Massachusetts to go to the beach in North Carolina. And we drove down because my wife has an uncle down here. So we came just to stop in and see them in the Wake Forest area. And we wound up liking the area of Wake Forest so much. We never made it to the beach 2 hours from where we were. We stayed in Wake Forest for a whole week. And we're like, you know what? We're going to go home. We're going to put together a one-year plan and we're going to move. And that's what we did.
Wow. But
when we came down here for that visit, we ran into this daycare center that we had never heard of, a drop-in daycare center. So we drove up. We're like, what is this? And we went in, we met the owners because the owners were working that Friday night. And it was a husband and wife couple. And we're like, what is this? We can just drop our kids off with you. Do you need to know us? They're like, you know, we'll get to know you, but you know, your kids are safe here. You just drop them off and go out on a date. And we had no family or friends, you know, we had friends, but we didn't have a lot of family in Massachusetts because most of our family was in the New York area and Connecticut. And when we moved down here, we had no family or friends except for her uncle, which was, he lived like 45 minutes away, your aunt and uncle. So we dropped our kids off and we went on a date. One of the first dates in, you know, the 7 years we were married or something like that at the time. And we loved it that so much that when we moved down here, we wound up using them every single weekend. You know, they were there a lot. And so a lot of their friends, they met at this center because a lot of other kids and a lot of other families in the neighborhood, you know, were moving down from Ohio and New Jersey and Massachusetts and all over into this one area. So a lot of people were using this daycare center. So a couple of years later, when our kids were a little bit older, they were still going to the center, but there was talk that they were going to close the center because the parents were older and their kids were older and they were doing travel hockey and they didn't have time for it. So we just looked at each other like, okay, we'll buy it. And so we stepped up because the community really needed the center. And as our kids got older, they aged out of it, but they still wanted to be involved. So they helped with construction on the weekends. They helped with cleaning on the weekends. They helped coming on date nights when there's a lot of kids and we needed more people there to entertain the little ones and things like that. So they really got involved in helping out with the business, which I think those 3 years we owned it, really, they were really stressful on all three of us because we owned a business 24/7. We had to take care of, you know, we were taking care of kids and we had employees that were taking care of kids and things, but it really brought us together. You know, I think as they were getting older, we were all working together as one family unit. And then when we were able to sell it, you know, it was a big relief, but we were together still, you know, we understood how to work together. And I think that was the beginning of learning on this journey we're on now that they're 10 to 15, the new struggles we're coming up with. We've laid that foundation of how to learn to work together because we have to learn as parents as much as they have to learn as kids. And I think that's really what helps a lot.
That is absolute truth. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. This is such a learning journey. There's no manual for this, especially how every kid is so different.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
What worked when they were a toddler doesn't work when, you know, they're 8. That doesn't work when they're 12. Nope. It doesn't work when they're 16 or 7. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll joke about that. We'll see. All right. Well, that's cool. Anything
else? No, this has been so wonderful.
Yeah, this has been fun. It's been a good time to get to know you better, to hear some of your experience and what a varied experience that was. And so that was actually a real blessing just in itself, hearing how you could boldly go from thing to thing and enjoy it with an outlook that is probably not very common, right, with folks that like to think about job security. So that was really cool. And the systems for the family communication and maintaining the relationships with a heart that is quick to apologize when we've done wrong. That was a good, that was a good item. And learning about the family entrepreneurial journey and building those foundations of service and an entrepreneurial spirit with your children. That's been really good too. So
yes.
There you go, folks. Lots and lots of good information with Tony this afternoon. So, Tony, I'm sure that everybody's going to want to figure out how they can learn more about you or about the book that your wife has written. Where can they find you? Where can they find that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I am on Facebook. You could look up my personal profile, and my wife has author page on Facebook as well for her book at puttingthepiecestogetherbook.com. You can find out more about it there. But I do have my Entrepreneurial Journey podcast and Facebook group where I take a lot of the things that, you know, I learn every day and try to give back by sharing those. So some of the things I've learned here, whether it be, you know, I call it my three pillar framework, mind, body, and business. So, you know, mindset, practices, learning how to think, learning how to, you know, utilize, you know, your mindset for success. Body being, you know, keeping a physically healthy body, and business, anything else that has to do with growing your business or business tools or things like that. But I should really add in family in there and make it a four pillar framework, because, you know, just talking tonight, you know, really made realize that, you know, a lot of success has to do with the people you surround yourself with, not only in business, but definitely your family. Because if you don't have a family that supports you in what you're doing, then it's going to be extremely hard to, you know, have any kind of success, whatever you, however you measure success, because it's not only, it's not always in a monetary form.
Not at all. It
can be in so many different ways. That's which right. I've seen so many different forms of success. Even when I'm, you know, failing monetarily, I'm seeing a lot of success in other ways. So it just, it balances out. So come join me in the Entrepreneurial Journey there, and just reach out to me. I love talking to people, and we'll see where it goes.
Nice. All right. So that's a wrap for today, folks. We want to thank Tony for his time.
Thank you.
Check out the show description. We'll have links to all the things that we've talked about in this show, and we'll leave it right there. So Tony, thank you again for your time. Yes.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Very much. Yes, very much. It's been real fun. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. That's it, folks. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening and spending time with us today. If you know anyone who could benefit from this podcast, we would be honored if you would share it. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download.
Head over to podcast.familysuccesssecrets.com to have a top-rated family success secret sent straight to your inbox. We look forward to spending time with you again next week during our next episode. See you then.
Bye, everyone.